Hello out there to all my lit lovers and word warriors. I'm your host, K.E. Robinson, and you're kicking it with me in the author spot, the hottest spot for the reader in you. If you're an author looking to tell your story or a reader looking for the next great one to dive into, join us at theauthorspot.com for books, reviews, and other great tools. Lit lovers and word warriors, welcome back to the author spot for episode 65 here in season 3. When we first started this season, we said it was the season of love, and we've looked at different angles of it. And here today, once again, at a milestone episode at 65, we're going to look at love. But this time, we're looking at excommunication, because sometimes love is so good that it hurts, or maybe even kills. Here joining me today is author China T. Miss China T, we want them to purchase your books, but first let them buy into you. Welcoming to the author spot, Miss China T.
Yay! Hey, everybody. I am author China T. Also go by Pascal Carnegie as well. I just signed a new publishing contract with the new publisher, Brie Ash Media, and I'm going to be writing under my alternate pen name of Pascal Carnegie. So I have been writing for quite some time, and today I'm going to talk to you all about my first book to movie, Excommunication, which is a domestic violence tragedy that is based on true events. And I want to be able to explain why I've decided to choose this book to go to movie, as well as tell you about my other projects as well. I am an urban contemporary author. So when I say urban contemporary, I take urban stories and I put them in contemporary settings. Basically, like what some people read as the dope boy or the hood dude or all that. Those are my CEOs, my managers, and all of those things in contemporary settings. They're still taking the same grind from the block to wherever they are in their life, and the drama still follows them. So that's the things I write about. I wrote about the street stuff when I was younger, but as I grow older, my content actually matures with me. And I'm also a children's book author. I have a 20-book series called the Kindle series, and it goes into, I have 3 books released already. So I also do children's book, and I also am a certified coach. So I have my self-help books on healing as well as small business building.
You know what? And you came out with something, and I want to scale back just a little bit. I want to go back to the two sides of what you do, right? You're writing books. You write the contemporary stuff more so along mm-hmm. the adult lines, and then you have the children's books. I have people that have come up here, and they didn't want to cross one line because they had already crossed the other as far as they already did adult content, but they wanted to do child stuff, or they didn't want to go here because they wanted to go there. Can you kind of talk to people about being able to separate and conquer a little bit going into these different arenas and areas as an author?
When you determine who you are as an author and what type of books you want to write, then you're going to be able to challenge yourself to be able to change your genres up and be able to grow with who you are as an author. I love being an urban contemporary or a fiction author, but I also want to be able to appeal to children as well. And you're able to do both. And sometimes a lot of people do it with different pen names. Like you have some people that have 3 or 4 pen names. They'll have one pen name for their children's books, one pen name for their erotica books, one pen name for their crime thrillers. It's all about how you're marketing yourself with those particular books and to those audiences. For me, when I go like the trade shows, book fairs, community events, I have all of my books. I have my children's that'll be on one table by itself so I can appeal to all the parents. And then I have all my other books on one table so I can appeal to all the adults. And I haven't seen an issue with me being able to sell both at the same time or be an author, China T, on both the fiction and the children's. Again, it's all about aligning your audience with your community that you need to build for first and foremost, aligning them with what you're trying to do, and you're still going to see their support.
And I'm happy you said that, because I actually had a friend who was kind of, she started off in poetry, but it's a little darker poetry. And then she was doing some children's books, and then she wanted to go into some erotica. And what she was concerned about is she should change, do a different pen name for the erotica stuff, because she had it. But I told her, I mean, you know, how children made, you know, that's kind of, you know, it kind of all comes round about. And so I think she's working on it now. But I'm happy you said that about, hey, just separating how you present it, and you can keep one name on it. Because I think at the time she was trying to think of another name. Right. And it's like, for some people that comes,
you don't want to manage and build all of those audiences for each name. Then you should be able to learn how to build your one audience and know how to separate it within that audience. So you know who the people are who are going to buy children's books. You know where your urban readers are. And then you know for the ones, other things that you have going on as well. Because once they trust you as an author, it doesn't really matter what you present. once they trust you, they're going to go ahead and go with whatever you're presenting because they trust you. Okay. It's not necessarily your business and things that you're presenting. It's the person. Okay. And that's usually what sells in business as an author. It's the person. Your products are the bonus, but it's you that you have to sell yourself to your audience and they're going to go ahead and run with whatever you presented, especially if it's a beautiful presentation and it does make sense. So.
Exactly. And let's talk about the branding part of it. Let's stick within the adult side of it, of what you've done. You've done books like, and I wanted to bring this up as we talk about excommunication, as we start to go into it a little bit, right? I think you talked about a little bit more of the happier side of love and or lust in your earlier books. For example, His Lady, My Sneaky Link, Area's Turn, and I'm looking for the other one. That's the other side of it. I had it up a minute ago. You talked about that side, the more happier side. Now, here, 2023, you're bringing us this dark side of it. And not that there weren't some dark elements in the other parts of it, but now there's a focus on it. What brings you from that side over here to this issue that is not talked about enough, might I add, but you decide to bring it out in your works with excommunication?
Okay, so let me back up. Excommunication was originally released in 2016. I re-released it this year. So I actually wrote this before I wrote all of my new content. That when I wrote this book in 2016, it is because when I heard about the story until the true events in 2015, I felt so compelled to write it because I graduated from HBCU as well. Those girls was HBCU students and they didn't get an opportunity to graduate. And for me, it was all about writing a story that depicts what leads up to somebody ultimately doing exactly what he did to end their lives. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to be able to channel that. I mean, it's kind of hard to get true events or true account from those involved because everyone is dead. Literally, everyone is dead. Okay. The main players. Okay. So you have to take what you can take from the news and the articles and all that stuff. And you have to build your story around those events and try to come up with a story. So that came way before His Lady and Her Man series. When I wrote His Lady, I was in the headspace of mom. When I wrote Excommunication, I was in the headspace of HBCU student. Okay. So the reason why I say that is because I told you as the years gone by, I've grown in my art, right? So when I wrote His Lady, My Sneaky Link, that is from the perspective of Araya, who's 40 years old and who wanted to be a mom. That is exactly where I was in my life at that moment. 40 years old, wanted to be a mom. So I developed a story around that. And that's how I came up with that series because of what I wanted people to see was she was able to achieve her being a mother at 40 and a dang good mother at that. You see what I'm saying? Something that I want to be able to do as well, you know, being a later in my life, being able to trying to have kids. Okay. So that's where that came from. That just shows where I matured from versus excommunication. I did that because I'm an HBCU graduate. I want to make sure that we bring this issue to the forefront. It's like sometimes it's like an attack on us, attack on African-American women, attack on Black women by the people who say they love us. And that is very important by the people who say I love us, not the world. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about by the people, very people who say I love you or have said I love you. It seems to be an attack. So I wanted to confront that and continue to talk about that because it is getting worse every year. More and more Black women are dying at the hands of a man who said they loved them. So as I'm seeing the uptick in the numbers, I know I had to re-release Excommunication. And that's the book I chose to be the movie versus my other works.
And you know what? When you talk about that attack, not all of it is physical, but how else do you get somebody to understand the pain of it unless you take the physical aspect of it and you put that out there? Because when we talk about the attack, I heard something even earlier today in the media, and I want to say it was a Black gentleman because I don't know the guy. I know who he was talking about more than I know him, but some things he said about Chloe Bailey. And it's like the child don't mess with nobody that I know about. She don't bother nobody. She don't say nothing. But he had plenty to say about her and her face, and that's not her image. She portrayed this, that. Another thing that's like, wait. Why are we picking on the actor, singer that don't bother nobody? Why are we going and picking on her when there's women that portray much tougher things that'll tell you they'll fight you in the street? Nobody say nothing about them. For a man to pick on a woman anyway doesn't make any sense. But why are we picking on that young lady who is what she is, an R&B artist? And you got some gentleman who's just going to go and make this thing up, this big deal about her. In that way, that's an attack. And if sometimes it's what we're closer to, it's going to be easier for them to attack us, unfortunately, because they watch us more closely. They see us more closely.
Right.
But it's still unfortunate. I mean, I know some people will argue it could happen on either side, both sides. But truthfully, there's a lot of discussion about the changes, right, in roles as of lately, as it seems, right? What women have had to do
right.
to make up right. for a lot of things over the years. And so now, even in their having to be stronger, there's a knock on having to be stronger in some senses because not having that other person to lean on. Now, getting to excommunication, well, now you do have that person to lean on, and even that person is not quite who you need them to be, given the material in the baseline behind it. So if you were going to put it out in 2016, what made you put it back out now, that particular story?
It recently, like I said, I saw the uptick in numbers of it consistently happen with other young ladies, right? It was so crazy because right when I was getting ready to do the casting and all this stuff, you wouldn't believe a similar story happened in Tallahassee, Florida. This time it was two sisters and the child's father came over there and gunned both them down in front of the kids. And they was just out there. And it's just, it's continuing to happen. And so many lives are affected from it. And it's a costly thing to the U.S. altogether. But just imagine those children, like, will never forget those images of seeing their mother and their aunt get murdered by a uncle, a dad, or whatever the case is. So that right there, seeing how similar that story was to what it was back in 2015 when the girls died, I was like, I definitely feel like this is the right time to do this movie because what I want to highlight in this movie are the following things. First and foremost, domestic violence and recognize the signs of the Casanova man. The Casanova man is the one who treats you very nice and make you feel like a beautiful woman and so nice and give you everything you want and then turn around as a monster. But then turn around and be that nice person and just know how I'm going to keep manipulating and gaslighting you. So for one, I want people to learn how to recognize domestic violence and a Casanova man, okay? The next thing is also family who know about it. Stop being quiet. If you know your family member is abusing somebody, if you find out your family member is being abused, speak up. Sometimes this whole thing in our community, snitches get stitches or whatever, don't snitch. It's causing people's lives to be taken. If you know that somebody is being mistreated by somebody, a male in your family, speak up and stop always trying to have a side because everybody is not always right. So that's one thing. Another thing is young women between the ages of 16 to 21 want to be sometimes rushing into relationships, want to be loved so bad, and they're coming across the wrong things and them being so embarrassed to tell people that therefore they're unable to save themselves. Stop being embarrassed. It is not your fault that somebody has put their hands on you, is treating you bad. But I promise the quicker you speak up, the quicker we can get you out of harm's way if you allow people to help you. And then the last thing about it is overall, just if you see anything, sense anything, friend, whoever, say something. Go the extra mile and try to figure out what's going on because a person's behavior changes drastically when they are being abused, whether verbally or physically, okay? They're withdrawing, more things are happening. So turning a blind eye or act like it's not happening could be the very reason why things escalate and get to another level. It's time for us to start noticing stuff and start speaking because we can save so many lives if we stop acting like that ain't got nothing to do with us or that's not my business. It is our business as a community because we're losing too many mothers to children and too many women that are mothers to this earth because somebody said they love them and killed them. And I already know if I don't know nothing else, you will never kill what you love. You cannot get rid of something that you deep down inside love. I just know that, okay? So that is what I want to do with excommunication.
I think you're absolutely right about that. You're not going to bring true pain to anything that you love, not intentionally. You might do something stupid. But you're not going to do it from your heart if you do bring it. You might do something stupid from your head, but you're not going to do it from your heart and more importantly, from your hands if you really love and care about it. Something interesting that you said is in turning a blind eye to certain things because it's not your situation. Well, people don't realize that you know it and you see it's going on. And once he's done it to her and moved on, that next person could be your sister, your cousin, your relative, once he's done it, is it too late when it hits home? And then sometimes right. when things hit home, unfortunately, sometimes when things hit home, people still are quiet about it. Like you said, with the no snitching thing, that's all great until you're looking for some help trying to find out who did something to your family members, right? And after a while, that community around you just got smaller just because everybody's not talking and everybody knows who's doing it, but they're slowly picking everybody apart. And it's not even that they're that good at hiding. It's just that nobody's talking. One thing I want to kind of go back right. to is even within our families, right? Even within our families, sometimes there's this secret that nobody wants to talk about and nobody wants to bring up and everybody's in denial about it. And then you got this child, this individual that grows up with the knowledge of what happened to them and they never seek help because they never talk about it.
Right.
Can we talk a little bit about the psychological part of it? What happens to a person who is going through that abuse or any form, whether it's physical, mental abuse from somebody that they're in love with or that they really care about, that's supposed to love them?
Well, this type of pain runs so deep because, again, the word love is carried heavy by a lot of people. So imagine somebody who said they love you, just welling on you, beating you up, talk to you in the kind of way and all of that stuff. See, now you think this is normal. Now you think this is love. So guess what? Your cycle will not stop at this man if you get away. You're going to go and find people who are worse than him because you are bonding with them through trauma. This is not a soul tie. People like to confuse a soul tie with a trauma bond, but they two different things. These people are bonding through trauma because your traumatic experiences are what attracted him. He has went through some form of trauma, whether it was physical, whatever it was. Y'all are attracting each other's energy. That's how we got here. Okay. There is no way that a healed person can attract the energy of a person who is not healed. They won't even be laughing at the same things in the same realm. So we already know the trauma bond is two traumatic people who went through whatever have now bonded. Now it's physical. Now we have to break or help this person realize where they have bonded through trauma. If they ever realize it, then we can start the process of healing them. If they never realize it, then this is an ongoing cycle from relationship to relationship. So sometimes it is too late. After that, then that woman, when she finally does find her voice and find herself, she will come out and now she'll be what? She'll be so guarded with her that she'll now be jaded. Okay, so she'll start taking these reflections and say, every man after, or every man, even men, every woman he meets after, and now be a direct in the line of fire because of what they already went through with somebody else that they survived, right? Just because you survived it does not mean it did not take a toll on you. You still need to heal it. Because you got out alive don't mean you're not finna carry it to somebody else. So this is a continued cycle now. So either she's going to move on and get more abusers, or she's going to get out of that relationship and get on and get more people who still treat her bad. Because if you don't know what it feels like to be treated good, you're never going to go towards that. Now, what also happens is everybody around is affected, the ones who knew, because they had the knowledge. So let's just say it is the family of the male or the person, the abuser's family. They know this is going on and never spoke up. So now this person moves on. They carry the guilt of knowing that this person consistently did this and they never spoke up. What happens when that one time when that person, your family member, gets so carried away that somebody end up dying? And all you're going to hear him say is, dog, I wish I could have stopped him. I wish I could have said something. I wish I could have helped. Is that right there that you should have, so that you could have helped this person? Okay. So that's that right there, that right there. And then you also talk about the unintelligence and emotions of the abuser. This person right here already don't know how to deal with their emotions, and they definitely don't know how to deal with rejection. Usually this type of intense decision-making comes because they were rejected. This woman wanted to move on. This man wanted to move on. It is the rejection that people do not know how to deal with. So the moment that they are rejected by somebody who they feel, not who they love, but who they feel should love them and accept all of it, that's when they get mad. Because if I feel like you love me, you told me you love me, you should love me through all of this. It shouldn't be a problem, okay? And the moment they reject it, now that's when threats come and all of this stuff, and things are taken too far. So, and it's when we have emotional intelligence, it's something that we do lack. A lot of us lack emotional intelligence. We do not know how to deal with our emotions. But I also know that men were not taught how to raise their emotions as a concern. They were taught how to hide them. So because they are not allowed or don't feel like they can cry, they don't feel like they can confide, or whatever they're going to say is going to be taken seriously. Now, all of that stuff is held in, and it will come out in a verbal lashing and in a physical lashing. Do I feel sorry for him? No. But I do feel sorry for the environment around him, because nobody loved him enough to say, you need to go heal. You need to apologize to yourself, and you need to start moving in a different direction. And when people don't hold you accountable, you already know a human is very hard to, they do not hold themselves accountable. So sometimes somebody else got to be the one holding them accountable. So that's where we are in terms of all three, the victim, the perpetrator, and the family.
And old habits die hard. So every day that goes by that you keep hoping that, oh, maybe they'll change. Oh, this is isolated. Oh, no. Well, that's only twice. It's only three. It becomes a habit.
Yeah.
And the habits are harder to break. People talk a lot about all these different drugs that are habit forming and that are dangerous. You know, alcohol, give or take, marijuana, that's a big argument. Mm-hmm. There's things, cocaine, methamphetamines, things like that. You want to know the most dangerous one to me? Control.
Yes, absolutely.
Control is by far the most dangerous drug anybody can trip on. Because
rejection is something that you cannot control.
Right.
And if I cannot control where you going and what you finna do because you're trying to get away, then yes, that angers me. It angers me so much that now I got to get rid of you, because if I can't hide, nobody else can. If you can't love me, if you won't love me, I won't let you love somebody else, because I don't want that. But that's just a selfishness, because it doesn't mean that I won't move right or past you and go love somebody else and don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, break up with you. Like, I can, like, that man to have her so under control, and the moment he tried to control her, he will push her to the side and go control another woman. Now she got a total different pain she's dealing with. Not only has she been abused and all of these things over here, now this man disregarded her, don't even care nothing about her, moved her to the side and got with a whole other woman to do it all over again. Now she feel bad. What did I do wrong that he didn't want to stay over here and hit me, and now he over there with her? You see what I'm saying? It's a repeated thing, and control is at the center of it.
I don't know if you remember this. I don't want to get the celebrities wrong. This involves three celebrities now, so-called. This one singer, I want to say, used to date this one rapper. She reported a history of abuse. Other people didn't believe her. Somebody else moved on with that same rapper, another celebrity. Then she experienced that abuse. Nobody really went to the guy as much as the two ladies were focusing on each other, saying, oh, no, he don't do that. He don't do that. No, yes, he does. As much as going to the guy and telling him that, no, you need to, if you don't, you need to get that fixed. You need to be stopped before somebody else get hurt. And that's the biggest thing. It's not a lot of responsibility. It's like people are almost afraid to approach the abuser in a way. And so the blame goes to the victim. Well, why'd you stick around? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you run away? Why didn't you do? And all the blame in the world, but nobody wants to approach most times
the abuser,
the person doing it.
Yep.
And why do we get that? Why is there so much pressure put on the victim?
Well, this is why, because at the end of the day, all of us are taught right from wrong. We know our left from right and things of that nature. So with that being said, while nobody can honestly know what it's like to be in a situation like that until you're in it. You don't know the things that the perpetrator is saying to the victim to keep them in it. It could be, if you leave me, I'll kill the kids, I'll kill your family, this, and that. Okay, so it could be a bunch of threats that the person never tell us that they are held hostage under, because they're trying to protect family, right? And then it's those who scared because every time they try to make a move or try to even get away, the person find out. You know how? From their family. You know, sometimes we talk too much. We do. We want to share everything we got going on. So sometimes you sharing what you got going on and what you're going to do might be a conversation for your family to share with the man. Because guess what? If the family don't know he's abusing you because you didn't say anything, they don't know that they're telling him things that he should not know. Remember, because we be keeping secrets. If I don't know that Joe is slapping you around, and you tell me that you're moving to Utah, and one day Joe come over, and I say, yeah, you're moving with Karen in Utah, and Joe know nothing about this, guess who gonna get hit when she get home? Who life might be on the line because Karen's trying to plan behind Jeff's back. You see what I'm saying? You have the family members that don't know. Then the victims are staying because at the end of the day, that's all they know. Where else are they gonna go? Their worth is so low that they don't think another man is going to love them or want them. So when your worth is low down to the ground, you're going to just stay where you're used to staying. You're going to be what you're used to. You're going to do what you're used to doing. Like you said, bad habits die hard. Well, these abusing men become habits and they are hard to die, especially if you're one who's still taking care of all the bills. Like if you is getting beat up or whatever, he is hitting you. But guess what? He still makes sure all the bills get paid. You comfortable. So guess what? You're probably not going to rush out of that situation as fast as you should because he's doing one thing, but you feel like he's making up for by paying all the bills. So there's many different reasons why the victims don't immediately leave. But the main thing here is self-worth. When it is completely depleted from so many bad words and hitting and all that, when it's completely not there, then I don't feel worthy enough to leave. Who is going to love me like this man? So I'm not going to go nowhere. So that's at the bottom of the line. It's the worst. So do not blame the victim. They literally have to be built back up from the ground up. And that may take some time.
And who's to say how long that would be? That means when they even once they get past that person's away and they meet somebody else.
Same cycle.
Same cycle. Because now you're defending yourself against the other person.
Yep.
Whether this person is doing it or not. And that's
right.
Different wall altogether. Mm-hmm. To have to deal with, right? China, you know, a lot of times I'll say this thing is more than manuscripts, right? And that's my hashtag I put in a lot of things when you do this on social media. And in this case, when we talk about excommunication, it absolutely is more than manuscripts because it's imitating real life. And now it's a movie.
Right.
Right. Can you tell people a little bit about the challenges, the process of turning this into a movie and when they may be able to even expect to see it?
Okay, so the movie I'm hoping to premiere is in this, fingers crossed, okay, because it's in post-production right now. So we're trying to get all that together. My production team is working on so many other projects, real big vision. So usually people don't be trying to premiere their movie so soon. They get it done and then they may wait a few months. But I wanted to get it premiered during Domestic Violence Awareness Month and also on the bookversary of when it came out in 2016. In October 15th is the bookversary. So I'm hoping it to have it out by that day. The process is not hard, but I will say this. It's going to require you to be dedicated to it, and you're going to learn a totally different set of skills that you ain't even know that you had in you, okay? You first want to start off making sure that you do your research on production teams. Before you even start that, you want to make sure that you have a great script. See, a lot of people who write books don't have something that is going to be movie worthy. A lot of people think that their stories are movie worthy. You literally got to have something that's going to hold people's attention for more than 1 minute, because all it takes is the wrong entrance to your movie and it will not be watched. Okay. So you got to have a script that is going to do what it's supposed to do. So every story, I want to say that to every author and every writer, every story is not a movie. I just want y'all to know it don't matter how good you think it is. Every story is not a movie. Okay. Some story mirror other movies that already came out. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So yours got to have something unique to it. Okay? When you get that script, then you're going to get, like I said, shop around for your production team. You want to make sure that you have everything that you need. You can either go two ways, either hire the people to work and you rent all your equipment. So that means that you'll go obtain the studio and have all the equipment there. And all you're doing is bringing in bodies to operate it. Or you can hire the whole production team. They bring in all the equipment and all you do is provide the locations. So that's two different sides to that, because people don't really talk about how to do that. Budget is very important. Okay. Listen, you can get some stuff done for free, but you got to think about the quality for free. Okay. You can't complain if it don't look motion picture box office ready. And if it look like the cell phone. Okay. Because the budget is important. Okay. So now when we're thinking about budget, when we're thinking about budget and you know you want a feature film, you want it to look a certain way and hit a certain way, you need to at least and this is the least, have at least 15,000, only because you want to make sure that your team has a proper amount of cameras to catch what you need. You can pay the five, but that team might come with one camera. You're going to be doing 30 takes per scene with that one camera because they got to get so many different angles, okay? So you want to make sure that the team have at least 2 to 3 cameras, and the price and your budget is at least $15,000. But then also make sure that when you choose your cast, oh my God, when you go to start choosing your cast, this is where a lot of us drop the ball because we be so excited. Do not care about their personal issues. They are there for the movie, okay? If they have any issue that look like it's going to threaten your set, get rid of them early. On top of that, have 2 to 3 backup lines of characters to run those roles. Not one, not 2 to 3. Because I'm telling you right now, if something happened with one of your main or supporting characters, you got to have in a backup that can come in and replace them. That's like the same body type and all that. It's ways around it. So make sure you're not going, like I said, being like me and jumping, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. And I don't want you to see that. So do like this, okay? Be very, very detailed in your cast contracts, please, okay? If you drop the ball, you will have problems in your set. So be very detailed in your contract of what you're going to pay for, what you're not going to pay for, what's going to happen if they breach the contract, what's going to happen if they wear clothing on your set. Because listen, they'll be trying to wear their friends and family clothing brand, trying to get them but your movie will get copyright infringed real quick because of that. You need contracts for everything. So don't let none of your people come on set with somebody brand and you ain't got no signatures, because your movie might be big on Tubi today. And the people say, they got my clothes and they movie. They ain't gave me nothing. And then next you know, because they never signed a contract, you and your movie is sued, okay? So make sure in your cast contract that it states, do not wear any clothing with labels to my set at any time. And be very adamant about that, okay? And then also make sure that your production team is on a contract too. They should not be fraternizing at any time with your cast. That is going to cause a problem on the set, okay? There should not be any backhand, off-brand, to the side, whisper, none of that. Let them be production. Let them be cast. Please try to separate them as much as possible, because when stuff start colliding and joining, people start thinking they got special treatment because they think they know the people over here in production. They forget that everybody works for you. So you're the boss. You know what I'm saying? They forget that everybody works for you. And then it'll be things going on in the background and conversations that you didn't even know had, because for some reason, your cast will think production runs the set. Okay, so make sure we have that line established in black marker, really thick and really there, okay? And be fun. And just go there and be fun and be willing to learn, because you're going to learn so much from that production team that for every movie after that, you're just going to go on them sets. You're going to feel like you're a goat because you're going to learn so much if you are willing to learn. My production team, it was some things that could have been done better, but I will not take away what I learned with these people. I learned so much about this entire industry, the process and everything. So I know what to take with me to every set after this.
And China T, I want to thank you for that. I usually preface that by saying off the spot, this was an exclusive, but that's more than an exclusive. But she just gave you an education in film production, you know, from book to movie, film production. You guys got like a great education in that. And I sincerely appreciate that for all of you that are inspired. There's a lot of people that are writing books that they're hoping gets on a big screen one way or another, whether it's a series or a movie or just a regular TV show. So I'm happy you put that out there for them and told them what to look for here in episode 65. Now, if anybody else wanted to pick your brain about that, maybe if they wanted to talk to you, China T, coach, about even the book or even the subject matters that you've covered, in particular, talk about excommunication, where could they find you? Where could they find your works?
You can find all of my stuff for one on my website, iamericathomas.com. Literally, I am Erica without the K, Thomas.com. Okay. You can find everything there. You can also find me under Coach Erica on TikTok, Coach Erica on IG and Coach Erica on Facebook. It's also I Am Erica Thomas. China T also has a separate page on Facebook, so you're also able to add China T page as well. But my website, subscribe to the website. I'm getting ready to start back up the newsletter series so I can let you know what's going on. I also got a wellness section on my website where I go and talk about different things. You're going to see my self-help, the business guide, the big small business guide, the healing planner, as well as the 31 days of internal satisfaction. Healing is very important to you building anything in your life. And so if y'all don't take nothing else from this tonight, you have got to heal. And I'm talking about everybody needs to heal. I know something that a lot of people think, no, I don't need to heal. Yes, you do. Because we encounter trauma on a daily basis. Stuff upsets us and makes us angry. Okay. That requires healing. Let you know. Okay. Because if you keep pounding anger on top of anger, it just becomes a problem. Okay. It becomes rage. So 31 days of internal satisfaction is my healing journal. It's going to make you sit down for 31 days and sit down and heal a lot of stuff. It comes with activities as well as a journal part for you to actually write about it. So you're not just writing a journal. I'm prompting you every day, and I'm going through things such as recognizing the initial pain that sets your life back, all the way up to learning what your love language is so you can teach people how to love you, all the way to self-love altogether. The ultimate thing is for you to build, increase your self-love so that people are not treating you how you allow them to treat you. And if I can rebuild you up in healing, then you won't allow people to treat you any kind of way. So yeah. And also on that wellness page, I'm also talking about different things. I am also outside of business and Arthur, I am a health advocate. I'm an eat to live coach, okay? Because I want you to eat to live a long life as opposed to eating to dying. So you will find a lot of my stuff on my website and things of that nature reference to you eating better. I am 100% vegan. I will not say I eat healthy. What I will tell you is this, I don't eat meat and dairy and I will be here beyond 100 years. That's what I will tell you, okay? I don't have to tell you nothing else how I'm going to get it done, but it's going to get done. And I'll speak it into the universe. And my last and final thing, manifestation. Every day. Every time. Never speaking nothing into your life. When y'all be talking about I'm depressed, stop speaking that stuff into your life. It don't matter how bad it was, no matter how sad you are. The fact that you wake up and get to do it again should be the only thing that keeps you joyful throughout every day. Because it's somebody who did not get a chance to wake up. They went to bed and didn't know that they was never waking up again. But you did. And if you ain't got no other reason to be happy in life, when y'all be talking about depressing stuff, be happy because of that, because you was able to get a chance to even wake up to be sad again. You should just be happy, okay? So that's what I want y'all to take away. I am ericathomas.com. Come on over. Follow me on TikTok. I go live. I'm starting back up my live series. Y'all are going to love it. So come on over.
Tell them what kind of coach you are. Again, I just want to clarify something. Coach Erica, tell them what kind of coach you are. I want people to understand.
I am a life coach, but in life, because I deal with everything in life from the relationships to your health, the eating to the business. I am a literal all around life coach. And when you come over here, if you don't know your worth, you're going to learn it by the time you leave. If you don't know how to eat for your blood type, we're going to go through that so you can stop putting that poison in your body. If you don't even know how to date properly, I got a dating guide to help you learn how to figure out what you want and be able to verbalize that. And if you just need to heal from stuff that just keep dealing with you, then I'm going to help you do that too. That is the type of coach I am. I am your overall coach and I'm not going to play. On top of that, we're going to build that business to six figures as well. So those are the type of things that I come with. And on top of these awesome stories, my whole purpose is healing and building. You cannot build a solid foundation that's shaken from stuff. So if you heal, you'll be able to build.
Absolutely. You can't build up if everything's tumbling at the bottom. I completely agree with that. Yeah. Right. And I want people to understand your credentials. That's why I had you repeat what kind of coach you was. Because for the people that think we just talk about healing from domestic abuse and bad relationships, no.
Right.
Heal from it.
Right. No,
all,
no.
Any and all.
Exactly.
Trauma.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've been dropping gems on us. And I'm going to ask if you got anything else you want to get to us before we get out of here.
I think I pretty much gave y'all what I need. We got the books. We talk about who I am as a coach. I'm talking about what I'm going to not tolerate with. And I don't tolerate unhealed people. I don't like it because I know that you're making bad decisions because you're not healed. So you're not going to ever be in your right state of mind until you clear out the clutter that's in your mind, right? And the most important thing, when you're ready to heal, it does not require an apology from the people who wronged you. The most important relationship you're going to ever have in life is with yourself. Why don't y'all start apologizing to yourself for what you sustain, knowing, because a lot of us know what we're going through, knowing who we was with, what we did, and what we said. Because we can do this all day and Sunday by pointing outward, but sometimes I need you to point back in. What did you do? Go apologize to yourself. Don't accept it right away. Give it a few days, because you have to know what you're apologizing for, okay? This is going to run deep. This is how we start healing. When you can go to that mirror and tell yourself what you are apologizing for, give it a few days to see if you actually accept it. Because you may slide back. You may apologize for people treating you in the kind of way today and then be with that same person tomorrow. You're not ready. So when you apologize to yourself, give it a few days. I gave myself about a week before I went back in there and see if I accepted my own apology. Because I am going to ultimately be the reason for anything coming into my life that I don't want. So am I ready to accept the apology? When I was ready to accept the apology, I did. And I moved in that manner since then. And I didn't want to go back. And I made it a point not to go back. Okay. So apologize to yourself. Give it a few days and go see if you accept your apology. When you accept your apology, you should be able to move forward from that point. You can't be jaded by something that happened that you just apologized and forgave. Like, you know how that is, right? When we forgive our mates, but we keep bringing it back up, then that means we didn't forgive them. Okay. When this forgiveness, when you give yourself the forgiveness that you swear somebody else got to give you, that's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I want to leave. Okay. That's all I want to leave. That's all I want to leave today. Apologize and then forgive yourself.
You know, something that reminds me of something I was sitting here thinking as you're talking, China, and something that reminds me of is sometimes the way people weigh certain things in your life is by time and duration, yeah. Right? Y'all were together for how long? How could you move? And what I've started saying recently is how long something was is not always how good it was. It's how much it was endured.
Right. Right. Because you can be with somebody for a decade. You can see your soulmate tomorrow and leave them right there. People really think that history trumps the heart, and it doesn't. Okay. Person going to be who they want to be to the person who they want to be with. So don't matter how many years you've had put in or how much what is there. The moment they soulmate come and you're not it, they're going to leave you right there. So let's not be won over by time. And if time means things were great over time, things change, people change, and people outgrow one another. So things can get better, or the truth will come to the light. That means that these people done finally came to the surface. That's what time does. Time does nothing else but reveal. That's it.
China T, I want to thank you once again for joining us here for episode 65 of The Author Spot. It truly was a pleasure. I think a lot of people got a lot of things. I mean, you had to get something out of here if you were listening to this episode. You had to get something, even if the domestic violence didn't apply to you. There's other things that you got from this episode. So once again, thank you, China T, for joining us and blessing us with your words and your coaching. Across the board, by the way. Lit lovers and word warriors, this has been another hot spot episode. Just wait and see who we put on the spot next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
If you're an author looking to tell your story or a reader looking for the next great one to dive into, join us at theauthorspot.com for books, reviews, and other great tools.